So we left off the previous year. We were just introduced to Shittas HaRambam. The Rambam has a very striking statement, a very, very difficult statement about the Tashlumin of Nezek and the Tashlumin of Tzar, for that matter, where the Rambam seems to equate these two types of Tashlumin with Knas rather than with Mammon. Mammon is always associated with a real bona fide hefset, when paying, you can measure it with what I damaged. Whereas Knas is some kind of a penalty, some kind of a fine. So the Rambam writes that Nezek and Tzar are closer to the model of Knas than they are to the model of Mammon. And therefore the Rambam says that if a person is modeb, Nezek and Tzar, he would be potter. Normally the rule is modeb and Mammon is chayev. Modeb and Knas is potter. Nezek and Tzar are closer to Knas than they are to Mammon. So the difficulty in the Rambam was multiple difficulties. One was seemed to be against that Gemara. Our Gemara in listing off the different mazikin, so the Gemara categorizes them by which are mammon, which are kanas, and Nezek and Tzar are the list of the mammon, not on the list of the kanas. That's a big problem according to the Rambam. But in perhaps an even more difficult problem according to the Rambam is the Rambam in Neobay. The Rambam internally is contradictory because the Rambam himself in Hilchos Shavuos describes the Nezek and Tzar as in fact being mammon, not as being kanas. Everybody else says, what was the context of the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos? That's what we just barely started at the end of the Shir. That there is a din in next week's Pasha, Pasha's Vayikra, about Shavuos HaPikadon, that if I say to you, you owe me money for whatever reason, either because you stole from me or because you found my lost object or you borrowed money or Pikadon, whatever the title, whatever the tefillah I'm going to have against you is, and you deny it and you swear falsely, and now not Edom Kam, that was Torah Tanis Gad that we spoke about last week, but you're Chos B'Tshuva yourself, you're Molda Me'atzmo, you come forward and you say, oh yeah, I feel so bad, I lied, I stole, I swore false, and everything, now what do I do? So the Torah says three things happen to you. You have to pay back, Heishvah Zegzela Shekels, you have to pay back the value of what you stole, you have to add a fifth, and you have to bring a korban. And that korban is called Ashum Gezelos. It's a common Ashum for the violation of Shavuos HaPikadon. So one of the catches of Shavuos HaPikadon is that the entire Chiyuv only kicks in a scenario when you could have been Moda. It means if I claim you owe me X amount of money, and if you would have admitted, you would have been Chayav to pay, but you didn't admit, that's Shavuos HaPikadon. But what would it didn't be is, if it's in the Din Torah, that even if you would have admitted, you still would have been Potter. That's Shavuos HaPikadon. So then your kfira was really lomal of the mind. Your kfira didn't really have a great impact. So if you're dealing with a Din Torah that your kfira wouldn't have made much of a difference, your kfira or your hodah doesn't really make much of a difference, that is not Shavuos HaPikadon. One of the examples where your kfira really doesn't impact anything is in the realm of kenosos. Because in the realm of a kenos, even if you'll admit from the faithful tomorrow, you're not going to be chayav to pay. That's what the Mishnah says in Shavuos, that there's no Shavuos HaPikadon on Mashbia in a situation of a Kenas. And that's where the Rambam develops in Halacha Aleph. Now we go to Halacha Gimel, the third in the Mem Kamos. The Rambam Lichu Shavuos Bechas Halacha Gimel. So the Rambam writes, Toveyas Chaver B'davar Sheyesh Bo Kenas. If a person makes a claim against his friend, something which is a kenas, and a kenas, we all know, doesn't pay up piyatzvo, doesn't pay based on his own admission, but what if there's a dual claim? I say you owe me X amount of money, and included in that claim is both aspects of mammon and aspects of kenas. Not that it's two separate claims, it's really one claim, but within the claim there's one A and there's one B. The kafah b'kol davar. And your response is that I'm lying. You respond, I never saw you before. You're kofel legamrei, the nishba, and you go ahead and you take a shvua. Now again, nobody told you to take the shvua. Vaisdin did not obligate you in the shvua. This is not a shvua satorah. You chose in your own to take the shvua. Hareza chayim shum shvua sabikadon. That can also qualify shvua sabikadon. Ketzer, tava v'amalo anasta upitisa biti. I claim that you are my anes, you are my father, my daughter. So now as the father of the 12-year-old, so I'm putting forth a claim. I'm claiming that you owe me X amount of money. What is the X? Well, I'm really making dual claims. I'm claiming that you owe me the kenas, because the kenas goes to the father. And I'm also claiming that you owe me the nezek, the tzar, the voshes, whatever other potential monetary claims were involved in every case of onus and mefata. Onus and mefata are slightly different. Onus is forced, and mefata is seduced. So there's going to be a nuance of a difference, the Mishnah says, whether you pay tzar or not. So the physical pain that's associated with an act of onus, that is paid. In the case of mefata, there is no physical pain, because the lemaisa, the girl's consenting, but you still have to pay the kenas, still have to pay the nezek and the boshes of the father, but the tzar, the physical pain, one doesn't have to pay. So whatever numbers we're talking about, the Rambam says that when I claim that anas to petit says biti, I am really putting forth a claim for two parts. I'm putting forth a claim of the 50 shekel of the kenas, and I'm also putting forth the claim of all the additional bonuses, all the extra tashlumen for the nezek, etc. So says the Rambam, how do we view this now in light of Shavuos HaPikadon? So I say, anas tas pitit, o pititas biti. You deny the whole story. You take a shvua to that effect. Now what happens? The Rambam continues. Ketzad. So the end of the second line. Tavo of amal anas tas pititas biti. Amal anas tas pitisi. Finishba. Chayev Shavuos HaPikadon. So the Rambam takes this right out of the Mishnah in Masechet Shavuos. It's actually machlokes, but we paskin that you're chayev in Shavuos HaPikadon. Why is that? She'afa pisha eino mishalim kenas piyatzmo. Ilu holdoi mishalim boshtu begava piyatzmo. Says the Rambam, even though it is true that you would not have paid the kenas piyatzmocha, and therefore this should not be subject to the din of Shavuos HaPikadon, but says the Rambam, since there's a secondary claim here as well, namely the tzar, the nezek, the boshes, whatever it is, so all of those claims are considered to be mamon, and therefore you have to bring your korban, you have to be mechapa for the avera, because you did violate Shavuos HaPikadon, because you violate Shavuos HaPikadon vis-a-vis everything else, even though vis-a-vis the kenas itself, technically you would have gone off scot-free. So from this formulation of Halacha Gimel, which is really the Rambam got it right out of the Mishnah, right out of the Gemara, this seems to be an outright contradiction with what the Rambam told us in Uchas Chovel Mazik. Back in Uchas Chovel Mazik, the Rambam writes that Shevis and Ripoy are mamon, because the doctor bills and there's loss of work, there's a tangible loss of money, but Nezek is not. Nezek is just a regular kenas. Nezek is not mamon. How in the world could the Rambam in Uchas Chovel say that Nezek is kenas, whereas in Uchas Shavuos, the Rambam says explicitly right out of the Mishnah in Shavuos that Nezek is tantamount to mamon, and that's why it carries with it the din of Shavuos HaPikadon. So we are not the first ones to raise this problem about the Rambam. This is a very, very old question that was posed to the Rambam. If you take a look at the fourth of the Rambam Komos, the Kesef Fish already...
But you're saying Bojus and Pagama Mamon?
Right, well, Pagama and Nezek are the same thing.
Right.
Pagama is being used in... Pagama is the term Nezek that's used in the case of Onus. So the Kesef Fish in the fourth of the Rambam Komos, Aruch is Nara Basula, Perek Beis Lachid Beis, Yesh l'tumoa, says the Kesef Mishnah al zeh. Sherei kosev perkei b'uchas chovel. There's a third Rambam Uchas Chovel that we left out, but it's all part of the same story. B'uchas chovel shim holdim yatzvah potvah nez b'netzar. So says the Kesef Mishnah, this question was posed to none other than an actual descendant of the Rambam himself. V'hanogid Rabbeinu Yeshua mibnei bonav sherabeinu nishal al zeh. Rabbeinu Yeshua, one of the, I don't know what it means, literally a grandson or a few generations later, a descendant. He was a nugget, he was a prince, he had a political position, but he was also obviously a great Talmid Chacham. And he was asked this question about his great greatness, Altar Zayda's Stivra. What do you do with the Stephen Rambam's initials of Haitian? And Rabbeinu Yeshua answered the following: Mishpat Atzar Benara, Eino Kubo Mishpato Benechbal. He says, first of all, you're mixing and matching different kinds of nezek and tzaras. I'm talking about Na'ara, the case of Onus of Mefata, and in another place, the Rambam's talking about Chovel, about chopping off a person's arm. It's a different case. What's the difference? Levisha ben Na'ara in Yenosaf, v'ha pagam, because Na'ara has pagam, which is basically the synonym for nezek, v'ha pagam yishalmo so piatzmo, v'soma mishpat tzar k'ma pagam. So says the Rabbeinu Yeshua, that basically don't ask any kashas from Onus of Mefata. Onus of Mefata is different, Pagam is different, Tzara is different, everything is different in the world of Onus of Mefata than it is in the world of regular Chovel B'Chaveiro. Of course, it's almost Sisrei Torah what he's saying. At the end of the day, this is a loss, and that's a loss. What's the difference? If you believe that losses of value are monetary in nature, are basically what the person's worth on the market, and therefore it qualifies as mamon, so if you're treating it as mamon in Hilchos Ones, why in the world are you treating it as kenas, back in Hilchos Chovel? So it's an interesting idea. This is that. We would almost say, it's almost like, I don't mean it's disrespectful, but it's almost when a Talmud says something to me, and he gives me a chiluk, a kabbalik a chiluk. So I say, true but irrelevant. I said, it's true what you're saying. This is A and this is B, but it should be the same. So what in the world is there? What's the yesod of Rabbeinu Yeshua? So the stipler, Sefer Kilas Yaakov, the stipler's Chedushim, suggests the following interesting idea. The stipler says, it really goes back to really the ABCs. How do you define whether something is mamon or something is kenas? The basic definition of mamon is really very simple. There's a hefsed mamon. There's almost a tangible loss. I had a window. The window was worth $1,000. If I would have wanted to sell that window, I could have gotten $1,000 for it. You broke the window. I have to go to the store and buy a new window. So I need $1,000. So it's very, very dollars and cents oriented. Knossos are much, much up there in the air. Like Havdil, you get a parking ticket. So why are you getting a parking ticket? Alom de Shisha, why are you getting a parking ticket? You're getting a parking ticket because you were mafsid the city of New York $50 for those 20 seconds that you parked by the hydrant. That's a joke. He said, no one was parking there anyway. He said, so what's the pshat? The pshat is that it's a penalty. It's a fine. You did something wrong. Somebody once asked the Shaila. It was like a very lumdus, like a yeshiva bachus, lumdus at a parking ticket. They felt bad. They had parked somewhere that was illegal or something. And I don't know what happened. I feel like when the ticket was written up, it was written up wrong or something, something like that. Sometimes the cops in the old days used to make a mistake. I don't think they do that. I don't think they make those mistakes anymore. But they used to make the mistakes. They'd write down the wrong number on the license plate or something. In my years, I got off a couple of tickets that way. The guy's sloppy. He writes down the wrong thing. So the guy wanted to know, but he knows that he parked there illegally. So he wants to know, is Erev Yom Kippur? Is he mechuyev to give the money to... So I explained to him basically the assumption is there's a Yerushalmi that says that if you know that you broke somebody's window, you have to pay that money, whether Beis Din catch you or not. You owe the guy the money in Dina Shemayim. But if nobody caught you on Kefil, nobody caught you on Dalam, hey, you know, there's no din of Shemayim to pay. It means if they catch you, they catch you. Don't catch you, they don't catch you. So I said, you don't owe the city of New York mumminess in din of Shemayim. I said, if they call you, they call you. It's their goof, they goof. So they lost the right to collect the kanas to you. So that's what the disciple says here. That's what the disciple says here also. It says that mumminess is always synonymous with a real bona fide hefsed mumminess. Kanas always by definition means there was no hefsed mumminess. So let's analyze very, very carefully. A person, Nebuch, causes a tremendous chavos. A person knocks out a guy's eye, cuts off the person's arm. What hefsed moment exactly has taken place? So there are certain real hefsed moments. For example, doctor bills. That's a mamish hefsed moment. So he has to pay a repoy. Even the Rambam concedes. The Rambam said that explicitly. That was called moment. Well, let's say Shevis, the loss of work. So loss of work, $1,000. He used to go to work for the next month. He can't work for the next month. That's a real hefsed moment. Let's leave out Boshes, because Boshes was a tricky one, as we already mentioned. The Rambam, we'll get that hopefully at the end of this again. So let's focus on Nezek, primarily on Nezek. Is Nezek a hefsed moment or not? So the guy screaming and saying, what do you mean? I used to sell on the slave market as $100,000. Now we only sell $50,000. You caused me a tremendous hefsed moment. To which the Chovel says, that's very nice. True but irrelevant, since when are you selling yourself on the slave market? He says, what in the world, point to me to the dollars and cents that you are realistically going to attain that you can no longer get. It's not like the person who I broke the window, so now when he sells the house, he's going to have to sell for $500 less. He says, you're not going to the slave market anyway. So he said, what kind of business is that? So Ella the Torah says, I tach azayin, you have to pay. You have to pay the Dmei HaChavola. So says the stipend, but that's the Rabbim. Yeah, that's a Knas HaTorah. It's okay. It's basically Knas HaTorah. According to Midas Adin, according to Midas Mammon, you paid for the doctor bills, you paid for the loss of work, you paid all the tangible monetary benefits. Now there's very, very up in the air ability or now inability or lack of getting a good price on the slave market. That's in the olmos v'dimyonos. That's in the world of imagination. That's not real. No one's selling themselves in the slave market. And therefore, the stipulus of Bidas Aram, that's the reason why ultimately Chavola is delegated to the category of Kenas rather than Mammon. However, there's one, and nobody should take this as a. There's no. I don't mean a slave market. You know, in light of why it connects, I don't want to say any merit, but there's a shidduch market. It means basically, what is the nezek for the ones? What is nezek for ones? What happened to her? She still has two arms, still has two legs, still has two eyes. Nothing physically happened. She lost the basulim. That's, I mean, again, you know, we live in a different world now, but in a world where you know that had a real dollars and cents value on it. And she wants that dollar. She wants to get married. It's not like the guy who comes with a broken arm and says that, I could have sold myself as a slave. And we laugh at it and we say, you're not selling yourself. No one's selling themselves as a slave today. But she ain't getting the world of Shidduchim. She very much wanted to. She had this chus to get herself married off as a basula. Which that's a whole other thing. Ksuba is already on a level of derabbanan. That's already a whole other complication. But just in terms of, even in the perfect world derais, the machlokes with ksuba derais, even in the world derais and ksubas, still the fact that her value, her realistic value, has gone down. That's a hefsed mamon. That's like a broken window. So you have to differentiate between the broken arm and the broken besulim. So the broken besulim in halacha is closer to the model of the broken window than the broken arm is to the broken window, because one is realistically going to cause hafsid bama and one is not. So says the stipler, that's the beer in the ram. That's what Rabbi Yeshua, that's what the Kesef Mishnah was driving at, the difference between the chavalos of regular chavalos versus the nezek at the pagam for omis.
By nezek, it's supposed to take into account his real loss, because he was a surgeon before, now he's only a parking lot attendant. So he did. That is where he has to get his nezek repaid.
Right. So that gets very, very tricky. Those are sugars. The eighth book, we need to learn what's called sheves and what's called nezek. So the Gemara always speaks about kevet and nimka b'shuk. Now you want to know, because this particular guy has extra talents, so he'll get a higher price in the shuk, but he's not going to the shuk. He's not going to sell himself as a shuk. So that idea that. See, Shevis is even a big chiddush, because it's always like Mavato Kiso Shechavero. Let's say if I come to your store and I lock up your store, and now you can't open up the store for the day, and you lose $1,000, I don't have to pay for that. It's a terrible thing, but that's only grammar. So the fact that I caused you that loss of not being able to make those extra salaries, that's not really Nezek. The Nezek is a nifchas ke'evet anim k'beshuk. So the Emma says, you're not in k'beshuk, you're Ben Chorin, you're in no way planning to sell yourself as a shuk. So you don't really have a moment to that.
The Shevis is only Shemek Yeshua.
Because the Torah, because the Torah already considered that. But again, the Torah already gave us that knas, so to speak, of Nezek. So once you have the knas of Nezek, then you can water down what Shevis is. It means the Lu Yitzuyu wouldn't have had a world of Nezek. Let's say the Torah wouldn't have been Mechadish Nezek, then you're right. Then Shevis probably would have been significantly higher. Right.
So in the case of the Nara, so what exactly is the loss there?
The loss is that she would have gotten she was willing to suffer the loss of Basulim to a husband, Derech Nisuin, and that's what she would have expected. And that was worth something to her. That was a value to her. Now you took that away from her. So she can't get married. I mean, she's theoretically married also, but she can't get married to somebody who wants to marry Dafka Basula. So that's a loss. It means you took away that ability to do something.
The quality of the shidduch
has got
some value.
Right, something along those lines, right? Right. So the stipler begins to develop this yisod b'dasa ramam, and then I guess this started to become the world in Bnei Brak, because where the stipler began, so Rav Shach continues. So Rav Shach and the stipler for the last generation with the two gedolei elam of Bnei Brak, two of the gedolei, many gedolei elam of Bnei Brak. But Rav Shach and the Sefer Avi Ezri highlights a couple of Rambams that also seem to point in the same direction. That the Rambam, when he introduces just not much the ABCs of Hilchos Chovel and Mazik, seems to be pointing in the same direction, that Chovel, the Chaveiro, with the exception of Onus Mafata, is not really monetary. It's not really a tashlumen for the loss. It's something a little bit different. So if you take a look at the back of the page, so the Rambam at the top, it's Hilchos Chovel and Mazik, Perek, Aleph, Alocha, Gimel. So it's the first Rambam at the top. So the Rambam paraphrases the famous Gemara at the beginning of the 8th parak of Bavakam, where the Gemara says that even though the Torah says Ayin Tachas Ayin, we all know that is not true. Ayin Tachas Ayin is never ever meant to be realistic. The Gemara quotes a lot of different sources. How do you know that Ayin Tachas Ayin is Lav Tafka, literally take out his eye? So at the end of the day, the Rambam writes, how do we know it? We know it because the Rosh Hashanah taught the Moshe Rabbeinu. And even within the Tashem Chsav, there are certain Ramazim, there are certain ways to derive it as well. But the real, real source, Aitach Zayin means Mammon, is Kach Nemer Ish Pepishan Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam at the top of the page writes, Zeshe Nemer B'Torah, Kashay Yitein Mum Badom Kein Yinosin Bo. The other Torah sounds very, very literal, that you have to mamish give him a mum. He gave him a mum, you have to give him a mum. So, Eino Lachbo B'Zech Moshechol B'Chavero. Says the Rambam, don't say that. It's not true. The Torah Shabbat explains to us that it's not the Kavanah Satorah. So why does the Torah write it? This is an obvious question. The Mefarshim and Chumash are bothered with this problem, grappling with this problem. If the Torah really doesn't mean it, why does it say it 100 times? Ayin Tachas Ayin, Yad Tachas Yad, Shevet Tachas, Kashay Teimu Madam. Why say it? So the Rambam says, the reason why the Torah says it is for the following. Ela Shu Ro'ui L'chasro Eiver Olach Babo. K'mo Sh'osah. The Torah is trying to highlight what should happen. I can't say the perfect world, but the perfect world of din, if you lived in a world of strict justice, what should happen is an eye for an eye. That's what the din should be. The Rav Hashem had Rachmanis on us, the Rav Hashem didn't want Nebuch to take the guy's eye out, but if you want to know what should happen to him, Ayin Tachas Ayin is din. That's what really should happen. Ulafikach, and because he did such a terrible aveira by being chavah b'chavero, he should suffer to have his eye removed as well. But l'fikach misham nisko. But the Torah says you pay nezek. And listen to Rambam's mashal. The Rambam got it out of the Gemara, but the Rambam really, really solidifies it. V'arei omer, for those sichu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach, the rotzeach bovad hu she'ein kofer, el l'chisar nevarim o l'chavolos yesh kofer. The Rambam creates the mashal, or extends the mashal of Chazal to kofer. Kofer, what does kofer mean? Kofer means when my ox kills somebody, so I don't get killed, even though the Torah says, v'gam all of you must. That means that, if you meet us, I did, I should have gotten killed. Indeed, in Shemaim, it should be chayim misa. But the Torah says, im kofer yushas alav. The Torah gives me a kapara. The very word kofer itself conjures up the image of a kapara. So kofer is a kapara for the aveira that Mashiach killed somebody. So the Torah says, v'lo sichu kofer l'nefesh r'tzeach. If you yourself killed somebody, don't even dream of getting a kofer. The halach is you're not allowed to say, well, Reuven killed Shimon, all right, just we'll make Reuven pay money and call it a day. No, no, no. For lo sichu kofer l'nefesh r'tzeach. Kofer exists in one area of halach. It exists when Yeshua kills somebody. But if you're r'tzeach b'yadayim, there's no kofer. But there's another area where kofer exists. And that's what the Torah Shabbat says. For lo sichu kofer l'nefesh r'tzeach, l'r'tzeach sh'en kofer. Aval l'chisar no evarim yesh kofer. That the parish of kofer, that institution, that concept of kofer, does not exist for a tzich of mamash b'yadayim, but there is a degree of kofer by rashi evarim. If you knock off the person's eye, you knock off the person's arm, then we make you pay out kofer.
Does the Gemara have this?
Yeah, the Gemara has that lashon. Rashi Chumash even quotes it. Sichu kofer l'nefesh r'tzeach. I don't think Rashi Chumash quotes the whole thing, but the Chazal do have it. So what does that mean? Well, what's that mashal mean? What's that model mean that the Torah is in effect referring to paying dollars and cents for an arm, paying for an eye, as kofer? So if Shach says, if it would be mamon, what is that kofer? Mamon means you cause a loss of damage. If the fundamental reason why you're paying for the loss of the arm is because you were mafsed of the arm, what does that do with kofer? Kofer means it's a kapara for an aveira that was done. Says Rav Shach, really, truly, there's no loss of mammon. There never was a loss of mammon. Why? The guy's not selling himself as an eved. Like the disciple said across the street of Bnei Brach. He said, the guy's not selling himself as an eved anyway. No one's selling themselves as an eved. So there is no real hefsid mammon. It's not like the broken window. Elohat, why does the Torah say to pay? The payment is more of a statement about the aveira that you did than it is about the hefsid mammon that the other person suffered. You did a terrible aveira. You chopped off the guy's arm. You deserve a terrible, terrible onesh. The real, true onesh that should be meted out to you is you should lose your arm. That's what should happen. The same way that when the Rotzeach kills, Reuven kills Shimon, he took away Shimon's nefesh, he loses his nefesh in return. That's Midas Adin. Now the Torah says, Lo sichu kofel nefesh Rotzeach. For a Rotzeach, we mete out Midas Adin, there's no Midas Arachme for the Rotzeach, and you take away his soul. When it comes to Rosh Evarim, the stakes a little bit lower. The Torah says, okay, it was only an arm. Only an eye. Okay, it's terrible. It was a terrible aveira. Midas Adin says you should have lost your eye in Tachas Ayin. Okay, we're going to give you kofar instead. So says Rav Shach, once the Rambam, in effect, puts this whole spin on the chiyuv of Nezek, that it's more related to what you did than to what you caused, that's exactly what mammon is not. That's the antithesis of mammon. The mammon means that it's nothing to do with me. Mammon has everything to do with you. Mammon, the focus is on the hefset of the nizak. Kofar and Knas, those are focusing on the aveira that I did. I did the terrible aveira of double parking, so I have to pay the Knas. I didn't cause anybody else. I did the aveira of shechting your animal after I stole it, so I have to pay for my... That's not a hefset to you. The hefset I already paid you. I paid you the value of the animal. That was Karen. That was already done. The fact that I have to pay 4 and 5 times over, that has nothing to do with you. That has everything to do with me. So says the Stipler in his context, says Rav Shach in his context, this we can now understand what the Rambam's talking about. Then the Rambam just finishes off, the Rambam in Halacha Vav. So the Rambam is a beautiful historic / halachic analysis of everything that he just said. Even though if you look in the Torah Shebichsav, and the Rambam already showed you that within the Torah Shebichsav there are already allusions, there are already hints to this idea that you don't take out the person's eye. Nevertheless, kulon mefurashanei mipi Moshe behar Sinai. Says the Rambam, these are all ish b'piyish and Moshe Rabbeinu. We have no question Moshe Rabbeinu received all of these halachas of Ayin Tachzayin. V'kulon halacha l'maisa hein b'yadeinu. Not only do we have a theoretical halacha Moshe Sinai, but this has been practiced, and we've seen this in what they did him time and time again. Because they're ro aviseinu, he says, our forefathers have always have reported to us, this is what they've seen, done in beveiz dino shel Yoshua. He said, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu through the days of Yoshua and onwards, we have seen, but they didn't never ever poke out people's eyes. We've always seen them making payments. Beveiz dino shel Shmuel HaRamasi, the Rambam is highlighting like the most illustrious, but they did them in history, the beis din of Yeshua, the beis din of Shmuel. And he says, and for that matter, v'chol beis din o beis din sha'omdu v'mos moshe v'en hachshav. Well, quite a statement, a very strong, historical, halachic statement.
How does he know?
Said, we've never seen otherwise. But, you know, we have, Baruch Hashem, in the Gemara, there are many machloksim. There are many, many chilukei days about a lot of things in Chazal and Midrashim and in Mishnayos and Teseftas and Yerushalmis. There are a lot of different chilukei days. There's never, ever been a shita. No Tana, no Amor. Nobody went on record disagreeing. Mestaba, that's what the Rabbah means. That lo shamu. If it would have been, we would have heard about it. Lo shamanu was a raya. In the area of halacha, if something is blatant, as strong as this, it's like mashlama devadome. The Torah says, ta'anus nafshu seichem on Yom Kippur. It says, you have to be ma'ani yourself. Doesn't say explicitly in Tashmich Sav what to do. Maybe you have to roll the snow. Maybe you have to stand out in the cold. I don't know what La'av Nashtecha means. So we have a Perish HaMakubo Misina Ish B'Pishar Mesh Rabbeinu that the Anos of Shasecha means to fast. What's the greatest Raya that it means that? Lo Shamanu Devazem Yolam. You know, Baruch Hashem, Kleisol has many, many different Minhagim. We have a lot of different Minhagim. So it's true. We have, some people will say Amitz Karchen Yom Kippur, and some will say Atakinant, and some will say Yigim Aminus by Nila, and some will say only one time Lo Chasem and Hagim on Yom Kippur. Lo Shamanu Me'olam, any Jewish community from Tehran to Poland to Russia to Hungary to Morocco, there's never ever been a Jewish community in the world that we've ever heard of that does anything different on Yom Kippur than fasting. It never happened. Well, like another mashal. The Torah says that, a little closer to the Yom, the Torah says that, you have to get rid of your chametz on the Yom HaRishon. If I was reading that pasuk, I would have said that means the first day of Pesach. Yom HaRishon is right. And the Gemara says, no, we have a tradition, Ish V'Pishar Beish Rabbeinu, it means Erev Pesach. We have never, ever met a Jewish community in the entire world in the last 3,500 years that waited till the first day of Pesach to give it a, go tell your wife, this year is easy, this year you have an extra few hours. So the answer is that there are things that are just Perushim Mikubal, the Halacha Moshe Sinai, and that's what the Rambam is telling us. The greatest proof that something is an absolute Chayk V'lo Yavar is a tradition, is the fact that no one does otherwise. Again, you're talking, it's interesting, historically, and you're talking about Baruch Hashem, we can appreciate this in Eretz Yisrael. More than, you know, the Rambam lived in a very small corner. He lived a little bit in Spain, lived a little bit in Seoul, lived a little in Cairo. He had a small, almost a snip of the Jewish world. The Rambam never stepped foot in France and Germany. He knew about them, but he never saw the Ashkenazi Jews in any real sense of the word. He said, Baruch Hashem, we live in Eretz Yisrael today. So you see every possible representation of every possible Jewish community scattered for Arba Kanfas Aretz. Jews that never saw each other. The Jews in Tehran never saw Jews in Poland. For 2,000 years, they never saw each other. And they do the exact same thing. They say Geffen, they say Jeffen. You're talking about like Kleinigkeit in terms of differences. It's the same Shabbos, it's the same Yontif, it's the same Tefillin, it's the same Torah, it's the same Yontif. Everything's the same. How did that happen? So the answer is because it was all with Perusha. It was all the same tradition. It all came from the same place. So Lo Shamanu Mi Mos Moshe Ben Warata, that there should be any major, major differences in terms of everything that we do. Sometimes in life, we focus very often on the differences. We make such a to-do about the differences, but the differences are one, not even a half of a percent of the similarities in terms of just basic Shmiras Torah V'Mitzvos. So the bottom line is that between you collect these Rambams and you walk away with a very, very different picture of what Nezek is all about, and that Yesod of what Nezek is all about, so that now impacts greatly on the Rambam's general Shita about the difference between regular Nezek, regular Chavala, which is Taknat Mamon, and contrast to Onus and Mafata, which perhaps is Mamon, and that explains the discrepancy why sometimes Rishvus is because of sometimes Rizodo, sometimes there's not Hodah. So hopefully next week we have to just fine-tune this Rambam a little bit more and then see potentially what some of the ramifications of this Rambam are outside of our particular sugya. This Chiddush of the Rambam, this new presentation of the Gedolim of Bnei Brak, is now going to set the stage for some other unique sheetness in the Rambam, get a whole new picture with the Rambam's view of Chavala in general, and what Chavala in the specific case of Anus Mefat is all about. Let's next week.